Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hi, money for the hippie.
Put it under the soap.
Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Oh my God!
Woo!
Dan's got them headphones really, really close to the mic again,
just to kill us all. Anyway, hide it under the soap.
Anyway, hi, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. We'll be right back to talk to you after Dan grows his ear back and we listen to these messages.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellows somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hi, my name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Ho, ho, ho! How you doing, everybody? This is Link at the Linux Link Tech Show, and I'm also surrounded, I guess, by Dan and his crew.
I'm being attacked by the
stink. At least you're not surrounded by the stink.
I'm being attacked by your new dog over here.
The stink is
She's
gone.
Pretty cool. What have we tonight? Oh, by the way, tonight is episode 46. Yes.
Six.
It's getting, there's a lot of them behind us now. And we would normally have.
Let's hope there's many more.
We would normally have the Honorable Alan Metzler here tonight, but unfortunately he couldn't make it, just like I couldn't make it last time. So it's like payback, and I guess this is supposed to be the Link show, since Alan did a lot of talking last time.
Yeah.
I was really impressed, man.
Man, me too. My wife was impressed also.
That was really... I sat there and I like he kept talking and talking and talking. I was, you know, that's pretty cool. He had a lot to say. Well, I don't know if he had a lot to say, but he said a lot. I guess those are two different things, right? But it was good. It was good to hear his voice. It's unfortunate that I could not be here last week. I was having some problems with nasty bowels that kind of, you know, get that stuff and you just can't walk too far away from your own bathroom sort of thing. It was really horrible. I draw you a picture, but it wasn't pleasant.
Bacon brownies.
So. Yeah, it was really bad.
I need eardrum replacement after this.
Yeah, we got to do something about getting you some,
I gotta
some
get
headphones that don't whistle at you.
With
the
volume
microphone
adjustment on it.
That's pretty bad. So what kind of stuff do we have to talk about today? Anyone? Mic's pretty loud, huh?
Yeah. Well, you got to have it up loud for it to record the thing loud enough. And so it doesn't sound like we're all whispering on the playback.
You could, like, hang those headphones behind you and still hear.
But I could just throw them on the floor because I can hear what you're saying right there. But for some reason, I got to hear it through here. I don't know why. I can listen to you, but I can't hear myself then.
It's just the way it is, right?
I got so used to being able to hear myself. When I talk through the microphone, I can hear myself. Right. And when I take them off, it just doesn't feel right.
That's how Dan does audio, by the sense of feel. All right. Well, I have a news announcement thing. Should we do the news announcement thing?
Go ahead. Jordan. Oh, is this going to be music?
Hold your ears. It's the news announcement thing.
Dun, dun. Okay, anyway, I was just looking around at some different news stories and stuff. Actually, I saw this three or four times today. It keeps popping up into my news aggregator. And this is a study done by the Internet Storm Center, which is part of the SANS Institute. And I brought this up because Dan keeps, you know, we keep hearing about Dan's problem with his XP box.
Oh.
Where it was infected before he could get the entire XP update downloaded. Well, this study by the Internet Storm Center says that they calculated a 20-minute survival time for computers that are plugged into the world or plugged into the internet on a broadband connection. 20 minutes until they're infected, and that is down. That is down, my friends. From last year, which was 40 minutes. So half the time. They estimate in half the time, 20 minutes, if you have a computer without any sort of firewall and protection, that it will be, of course this is Windows that they're talking about, that it will be infected within 20 minutes. I just think that's something else right there. Comments from the peanut gallery? Nothing?
Don't have any more comments for that because I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore last week. But I do have, I can piggyback on that for a second.
Yeah.
I think the dog's looking to go in the kitty litter. He's in for a surprise. Nothing there. No.
No cookies tonight.
What can I say about that without having to get into so much into talking about Windows? But
well, it's not like we're advocating Windows. I just, you know, that's an important piece of information.
Right.
You can only have your computer on the internet for 20 minutes.
Well, you know, I keep getting people asking me to help.
I mean, you can't even download a freaking firewall that fast, you know?
I keep getting people asking me to help them with their systems. And the latest one was my next door neighbor. It's a horrible system. And the first thing I asked her is, do you run antivirus? And she said yes.
Right.
She just got it recently. So next thing I was figuring was that probably spyware, bogging the system down.
Sure.
And it's really slow. It was horribly slow. It took 21 minutes to run SpyBot the first time. And then I had to go in because it kept... When you boot up, it kept going in the scan disk and it would never finish.
Okay.
So I had to boot up in the safe mode to do it. But as a Windows ME. Anyway, and I think this is a really prickish thing that they do. But apparently, after getting through the spyware stuff, and there was about 20 items.
Right.
All total. Maybe a little less. After getting through all that crap, I decided, well, it's time to run the antivirus, and I had to do the antivirus in save mode because it was just so dog slow. So my next step was to update it. So I go online, and the moment you get online on her computer, she's got the People PC soft. Dial up is so slow. I click on update the antivirus, and it says you need to register to receive updates. To register is going to cost you $29.95. And I'm thinking to myself, you know. So I start looking at her stuff. She's got McAfee. And I'm reading through it, and I'm like, she just bought it, like, about a month ago. And I'm like, did you get any other documentation? Did you get some kind of code with this or something? Because it's asking to register. And she's like, no, I got it. And I'm like, well, where'd you get it from? And she's like, I got it in the mail. My credit card company, there was a special deal for $5. You can get McAfee Security Suite. Well, what they didn't tell you is, yeah, it's $5 to get the media, but then you got to pay $30 to register. And, you know, who would have thought this? You're talking like just regular users. I think that's a really dickish thing to do to somebody. You know, especially in this day and age when if you...
Well, look at the example that's being set. Like, I can't go a month without getting an ACD, at least one from, like, AOL or something. Or... What's the last one I got? Netscape evidently has some kind of dial-up service, like, you know, MSN or AOL or whatever the hell. And I got getting CDs
but,
from them.
But you know, to send
too.
Something out to somebody and give them like this secure, you know, virus scan product, security product, and for $5, and then tell them, you know, not tell them that they have to pay an additional $30 to get the updates. It's just not right. I mean, it just causes confusion, and people think, well, I have it. My system's protected. So needless to say, when I hit that Control-Alt-Delete, there's about 40 processes running.
Sure.
With a bunch of different names, and I have no idea what they are.
Sure.
But I can recognize that some of them are nice little worms and viruses.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's, you know, companies that are selling that kind of crap and not telling people or not making it really apparent that, whoa, yeah, this $5 deal is going to cost you $30 when you install it for it to be affected. You're really shortchanging, and that should not be happening, particularly in this day and age.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, it's all a big marketing ploy. That's the Windows way, I guess.
Boom. But, you know, and she, so I told her, I said, right, she's like, oh, I'm waiting, you know, wanting to buy a new computer, and I keep looking and keep, I'm saying, you know, go to Apple.
Yep.
Go buy an Apple. She's like, I said, you buy an Apple, you don't have these problems.
Yep.
Not at all. It runs speedy, it runs fast, it works great.
Why don't you just switch her over to Linux, man?
I don't think she's ready for that.
Well, you can make it,
you know, I'm sure
you can make it work good, right?
I'm sure I could, but I don't know. I don't know, it's not a bad idea. I don't know if... see, now there's the rub right there. She used people... PC. I don't know if people PC works with Linux.
You don't know if it's like a regular...
And it's
one
of those... It's one of those type of like AOL, Juno type things where they have their own like special client.
Well, probably doesn't. Work with Macintosh either, though.
I don't know if it does. You know what? Maybe one of our listeners can check that out, or maybe I'll check it out right now. Check it out.
Maybe.
Ooh, people PC, take me away.
What is it that you have? You have like a whole lot of stuff here written down that I'm supposed to talk about today.
Well,
right?
I figured you know, there was a whole lot of
since
stuff
I
that
missed
you
out
talked about.
Since I missed out last week. Tonight, Link on Gentoo, Link on Debian. Link on both of those on PPC, Link on Yellow Dog, and finally Link on GNOME.
Link. I figured there was so much you had to talk about, you were burning to get it off your chest.
Well, there is. There's, you know, I've been doing a lot of work with this blue and white G3 that I have at home. 350 megahertz blue and white G3. Nice computer. Really like it. However, I've been having a hell of a time getting an operating system on. Well, I can't say that. I can get some operating systems on there pretty quick, but it's getting them on and getting them usable to my standards, I guess. What I originally did was, since the Yellow Dog people, TerraSoft Solutions, were so kind to send our Linux user group some copies of Yellow Dog 3.0. I put that right on there, and of course, you know, I loaded right up and worked after I figured out that I had to partition a drive, or I had to make the drive bootable with the Macintosh for the Mac software. You have to go in and format it. I used to format it with the Mac OS, and after you format it with Mac OS, it puts a couple of little Mac partitions on there, just little tiny ones that I guess hold the boot information or whatever on the disk. And
yeah, boot.
Once you put that on there, boy, then you can install Linux on there and get it to boot right into Linux, which is really cool. And I liked it, and I was playing around. But the one thing that I really wanted to use this computer for was to I wanted to hook it up so that I could use it as like a little mini recording studio. You know, I could stick my mixer on it and a couple of components and cut some tracks for this and that. And so I put Yellow Dog on it, and I'm playing around with it, and I finally figure out that, hey, I can't do that because for some reason there's no sound input on this machine. So, you know, Dan was nice enough to scrounge me up a sound card to put on there. And I'm looking around a Yellow Dog, and it doesn't have any drivers for this particular sound card. It doesn't have any drivers for any PCI sound card.
That's why I stopped with the Yellow Dog.
And yeah, so he says, oh, that's why I stopped with Yellow Dog. And he went to Gentoo, right? So I said, oh, okay, well, I will try. I've been meaning to try Gentoo for a long time anyway, right? Okay, I'll try the Gentoo stuff. First thing I noticed about the Gentoo PPC install is that the big universal disc, what is that called? Big live disc, live universal disc?
Yeah, universal
the big
live.
One, yeah. That one will not boot on that Mac. Will not. Don't care what you do to it. Will not boot on that Mac. However, and it's not like an isolated problem, because I looked around on, you know, I Googled around on the web and stuff like that, and I looked in. There are several people complaining about that, which is, you know, that's kind of bad PR for Gentoo already, I guess, so I'm already a little irritated with them. I have to download the mini install disk. And I downloaded that, and sure enough, that booted right in, and doing the base install was pretty simple and easy. I went to the Gentoo PPC install directions and followed them right down, and, you know, where they had examples of stuff to put in, I pretty much just, you know, cut and pasted it in from the web docs, and bingo, it was going. And before too long, actually, it was quite long, about 8 hours, I had a working Gentoo install, working to the point that you could reboot the computer and it would load the operating system and nothing else. Nothing else.
Wait, was that Gentoo or Debian? Wait, which one are you on?
That was Gentoo. I haven't even got to Debian yet. No, nothing else. And then I said, all right, well, let's keep going with this. And I hunted around on how to actually install. I know, first, I had this big thing about kernels on the Gentoo. I got it running, right? You have to build your own kernel. I built my own kernel. The kernel ran. No, not a problem at all, right? Didn't have the drivers in for the sound card I wanted, but the damn kernel ran. So, the next day, Dan comes over, and he compiles my kernel with the sound drivers in it, like, what, 5 times? 10 times? Something like that. Anyway, he stops by and does a couple of kernels like that, and a couple of his had some problems and stuff. And then when he's done, there's still a couple of issues. I'm getting error messages on the D message. Just a couple issues with that. So I keep pissing around with the kernels, right? And I do, you know, maybe 5 or 10 more kernels trying to isolate different things and pull stuff out, only to find out that finally what the problem is that for some reason, by default, Gentoo thinks that the PPC has PC serial ports on it. Which, you know, of course it doesn't, so it was airing on those. Once I pulled that stuff out, it was pretty good. And the some other little kernel module, which was causing all kinds of havoc because it was reporting messages from USB devices, and I have a USB keyboard and mouse, so you can imagine the stuff just rolling up from that, right? It was really, really was a pain in the butt, you know? So all that over with, then it was time, and this is like 2 days later. Now it's time to
sacrifice.
Yeah, now it's I'm getting there, you know.
To the magic.
Now it's time for me to piss around with X, and I, you know, all of this time, like 2 days, and I still don't have X. I can't do a start X on the damn thing. For me, you know, I can't get Vim on there, which really pissed me off. No X at all. So I forgot I'm going to try to do it that Emerge X thing, and I did that, and. You know, like a day later, it said there was some kind of conflict with X-Free or something wrong with X-Free, so I forgot. I try X-Org, right? And I do that one. And a few hours later, that says it's done, and I tried to start X again, and it bombed out again. So, that being my fed-up point at about approximately four days with Gentoo, and still not a working system, or usable. It did work. It did work, you know. And if you could do whatever you needed to do in, like, you know, in the console mode, it ran like a, you know, like a bat out of hell. But no X, and I simply wasn't playing with it anymore. So I went out and grabbed Debian's PPC install CD. And in almost an hour, I had an entire working Debian system. Soup to nuts. You know, that's the partitioning, the loading of the operating system, and this is loading the operating system over the web, because I didn't pull packages off the CD, just booted the CD up, pulled the packages off the web, did the whole install, had X up and working in the whole bit, except, you know, there's certain problems that they have with Debian too, and one of the big problems that I had with Debian, even though I got it up and running really fast, if you're not particular about your software, or if you're one of those people who like they like the whole desktop, you know, thing like KDE or GNOME or something right. Like that. If you're one of those people who use one of those, you are set with Debian, because all of that crap was installed. Everything was working good, doing its thing. The only catch I have about that is I noticed that the sound kept locking up. It would lock up my Debian box. You know, you'd be playing something through XMMS or something like that. It'd go good for a couple minutes, and it would lock up real tight. If you waited a couple minutes, you could get it back, or if you killed the process, you could get it back. Kill the process on a different VT, you could get it back. But that really irritated me. But the thing that gets me is, like, I'm not one of those guys who uses the whole desktop environment thing like GNOME or KDE. I use, especially on a Mac PPC that's only 350 megahertz, I wanted to use something light and quick. I wanted to use, like, Fluxbox. So I put the Fluxbox on there. And there's some other software that I wanted on there. I wanted Vim on there.
Vim.
I use Vim. I'm a system administrator. I'm used to using the tools that I'm used to using. Vim is one of them. I like it. I want to use that. I also happen to really like XV, which is an image tool. Okay? And it's an image viewer. And there's a couple other pieces of software that I really, really like. Pine, for one, you know, and a few other pieces here and there. Stuff that I've been using, you know, using Unix for a long, long time, using Linux for a long, long time. I've been using these tools. I've always used them on every distribution. On Debian, and I'm going to make all the Debian people mad here, someone in charge of Debian is some kind of software Nazi. I'm telling you. Because even though I tell Debian that I want to use, you know, I want to use all the packages. I want to use the U.S. and the non-U.S. I want to use the GNU and the non-GNU and the free and the non-free. I want to use them all. Even after I say I want to use every package, you cannot get some of those packages installed on your system. It fights you tooth and nail, man. And that is, like, that's not fair.
Why don't you download the source code and compile it yourself?
Aha! Aha! All right, you can.
Give it to me.
You can download the source code and compile it yourself. However, one, Debian's standard kernel, like, they're really anal retentive about their security. Their standard kernel is way behind everybody else's. Okay? And number two, they have all of these. It's kind of like working with Red Hat before they went out. You remember, like, Red Hat 7, when they started changing crap in the compiler and things like that?
Yeah.
And you couldn't even compile the kernel anymore? Well, they got some kind of patches thing going on with a lot of these programs. You have to patch them so that they work with Debian before you can get them compiled. So you can't even really do that. You know, your only method of getting these programs in some cases is to find somebody who's done a lot of work, you know, and you know, God bless the dudes who do this stuff. Someone who's done a lot of work and gotten this stuff compiled and made a Debian package out of it, or Deb package. But, you know, I don't have the time or patience to hunt around for 6 days to find Vim as a Deb package. And first of all, I couldn't find it. I did look for a long time. Because, I really wanted to use this stuff, and I was kind of pissed off. But then I started booting into, GNOME. And they have all of this stuff integrated, you know, the whole desktop environment. And I was playing with that for a little while, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this would probably be all right as just a regular workstation kind of system. I could probably do that, even though I thought it was a little bit slow, because, you know, GNOME is big and bulky, and it was still functional. It still worked. So I almost left it there. But then I remembered that, of course, the whole reason of this exercise was because I wanted to be able to use my mixer and stuff like that and record sound off the PPC. So I went digging around for directions on compiling a Debian kernel. Ooh, boy. There's all kinds of goodies in there, too. And I'll leave that up for your own personal reading, but that's... At that point in time, I had exhausted my patience with the whole process. So, I finally said, piss on it. I want my tools. I want this stuff the way that I want it. And I want everything.
I want.
Yeah, I want everything. But, and, you know, Axe seemed a little bit slow on Debian, too, which I couldn't figure out. But I figured, you know, I'm done pissing with all this stuff. I'm going back to the guys who do PPC Linux, and that's their job. That's what they do. And that's back to TerraSoft's Yellow Dog. I stuck Yellow Dog back on it. Again, it's like another hour install. Stuck it on there, and then within 15 more minutes of that hour install, I had Fluxbox on there. Vim was already there and working. All the little XV was there and working, and I had, you know, Rocks file around there, and everybody was happy, and you know, everything's going good, and I still understand that it's a pain in the hole to get the...
A pain in the hole to get the
sound card working under Yellow Dog. However, before I decided to start going, you know, investigating in that, another event happened, but I'm going to save that next event... Told you that story so I can tell you this one. I'm going to save it for after the break, since it's 9:30, almost, just about.
Man, you've been talking forever.
Seems that way.
Making up for last week. Something. You don't give anybody else a chance to talk, Mr. Big Mouth.
Nobody wants to listen to you anyway, man.
Anyway, you know, I just wanted to say to Brian, your bumper sticker has been mailed, so you should be getting it very shortly. Sorry about the little bit of delay on there. I had to
find
this
was the contest from 2 weeks ago,
yep.
Right?
and speaking of contests, we're still keeping the How I Borked the Linux Box contest, entries open for another week or so. We need more entries, and then we'll post that you guys can vote on it in the forum, and the winner gets a T-shirt or something.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody else besides Patrick and...
Yeah.
Oh, crap. What's that guy's name?
Mr. Ben.
Yeah, Mr. Ben.
Mr. Ben.
Posted.
Mr.
So
Ben
is
cool.
I posted, too, but I don't really count because I can't win the contest. That wouldn't be right. It'd be like I rigged it.
Dan's like, and I win the contest, and I'm keeping my damn bumper sticker. Oh, well. Are we ready for some mid-time music? Maybe, sort of.
Bedtime music.
Well, at least a quick nap. I'm thinking I have some stuff from Derelict here again I'd like to play. These guys are pretty good. Let's listen to Alderson. That's Alderson from Derelict. And I guess we'll catch back up with you in about 4 minutes.
Guys, night out, and you've been drinking hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro, how about another round?
Indeed, how about it? Show that douchebag just what it means to be a bro. Because when you care enough not to care, send him to the Rockies. Coors, cold brewed, straight from the goat piss streams of Colorado. The beer of dickhead bros the world over.
I love that. That is so cool, Dad. You got to do some more of that. We need, you know, we really need to get some of you guys that are listening to cut us up some commercials and some promos and stuff like that, because those are really funny.
I have a few ideas in my mind.
Entertaining.
I was going to cut something together for today's show, but I cleaned my room instead.
Hey, now, but this is cool, man. For those of you who have not been here,
two things for next week. Clean. I got two ideas.
Cool.
I'm still working on it. You know, I wanted to address a few things before you go on to your second topic. We'll let everybody else hang on in anticipation just a little while longer. About last week's show, sorry, I drank a little too much.
Hey, bro.
you can hear me yawning towards the end of the show. Yeah. I was like, too much liquor. Anyway, we had an idea at the end of the show that sounded like a decent idea at the time. The whole toilet in the couch so you could lay down. But, you know, after reflecting upon it with the wife, I don't think it's going to work out.
You probably
make too much of a mess. Because, you know, when you're laying down, you just don't have that spreadage there. And then the other thing, especially if you're a guy...
It's a control issue.
Yeah, if you're a guy, you'd actually have to have some, like, I don't know, something like a high-lay stick come out of the toilet so you could it could deflect the stream, but then it would deflect it back on yourself.
One of those NASA space contraptions that reach around and...
Right, so I don't think the
grab
toilet...
Grab you by the hoo-ha.
The so toilet and the couch would probably be a good idea. So if anybody out there took that idea and started to run with it, man, I don't think it's going to fly. Sorry.
What was the thought?
You were asking about Lug Radio.
Yes,
I was going to play their promo, but you know, I decided not to play it because, dude, their stuff is still down. First of all, they're on vacation, right?
Permanent vacation.
I'm not going to say anything, but you know, I've seen a lot of people do this kind of stuff and they kind of drop off the face of the world forever. I think they will come back like they said they were going to in September. They're going to start doing their shows again. Now, Slug Radio, that's a whole different story. They dropped off the face of the world. I don't remember seeing anything about them saying they were taking a vacation or anything. Lug Radio, I think, will be back in September. I hope so. They had a really good show.
Both of them. I really enjoyed both of their shows.
Yes.
I hope they come back.
They do. And both crews, good sets of people. I hope they bring them back because, you know, that was good stuff to listen to. But like I said, Lug Radio Know For Sure said they were going to be back in September. And Dan said that he had trouble reaching their website. And the reason why is because...
It's hosted by Soirette.org?
No. Their web server went down, I'm guessing. I remember seeing some a post on their... a post on Matt's blog about it. The web server went down, and it has been down hard, I guess. And they're in the interim moving the old website stuff to a new server somewhere, and then it's supposed to be back up. So I would look for it to be back up very soon.
Who hosts their webs?
You know what? I really don't know. I would assume one of the guys hosts it.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I probably could, you know, write him and ask, but I've been kind of busy
too. What's his blog? Do you have his address?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they do. Give me just a second, and I'll tell you precisely what Matt... And Matt is one of the guys over there who does the Lug Radio show. Okay, in order to get Matt's blog, you want to go to www.understated.co.uk/blog.
Okay.
Actually, you don't even need a slash blog, I don't think. www.understated.co.uk. And that gets you right to Matt's site. There you can see his happy little picture right on the front there. And he's got all his good information there, and that's where I pick up my side information. There and from the other guys, too. I look at all of their blogs frequently, as a matter of fact, from the Lug Radio. But I sure do hope that they get stuff together and that this does not become a permanent vacation and they, you know, go back to doing their bi-weekly web radio show so that we all can enjoy, you know, the opinions of the Linux geeks from the other side of the pond.
That being the case, Dan.
What?
I don't
know. I don't know. You just weren't paying attention, so I figured I'd lay it on you and see what happened.
No, I was listening. I'm adding their blogs to my blog page as links. Because that's the kind of man I am. Loser man.
Yeah. Oops, just scraped my glasses across the microphone.
You go, baby.
Anyway.
Speaking of blogs.
Yeah.
Whoa, come back. It was good to see that Alan finally posted something this month on his blog.
I said, wait, refresh my memory again. What exactly did he?
I don't know. Go look at his blog.
No, I read it, too, and I can't even remember what it was.
That's not good.
That's horrible.
Poor Alan.
What did you put on there, Alan?
He likes men, and...
My Random Thoughts by Alan.
Chewy Brown.
Here we go. I use blog lines, right? And I hit his site... And I said, okay, display all the posts within the last week. And it comes up with one. And it says, yes, Dan, I am alive. I remember, I read this today, yeah. Truth of the matter is he's taking a blog vacation because he has nothing good to write. Yada, yada, yada. Printer from Dan. Dan's giving out hardware again.
I got some UPSs. You want a UPS? Could you use another UPS?
Absolutely.
All right, get it out of the back of my car. You can have it.
Yep, I can do that.
The trick is you got to bend over to get it out of the back of my car.
Does it work? Now, see, this is the quantifying question, right? Does the UPS work?
Yeah, it should work.
All right, cool. Yeah,
as far as I know, it works.
I can always use UPSs because I'm a computer geek.
We could give one away in a contest, but the only downside to that is trying to mail something that heavy. It'd be cheaper to just go out and buy it.
65 pounds from 18017. Yeah. Anyway. What was I? Oh, I have to finish my story. Where was I?
You were in the middle of telling us something really interesting.
It was I told you that so I can tell you this story. Last weekend. I had, like, Dan gave me this. Dan is a cool guy, right? Even though, I wouldn't tell anybody this, but, you know, he actually is.
I think he's a jerk, but that's just me.
Well, you know, he's got this, you know, hidden homosexual tendency thing going on, too. Now, I'm just kidding, people. But no, a long time ago, Dan upgraded his video card, his video capture card, TV tuner card. That's what I'm looking for. And he gave me his old one. So that I could play around with it on my Linux box. And I've been
turn
using
around
it.
And broke it.
Yeah, I've been using it ever since. This has got to be like, what's it got to be, 2 years, 3 years, something like this. It's been a long time. And I've been using it on my Linux box this whole time. And the other day, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was moving my computer around, and I twisted it just right, and I snapped the little nipple off the back where the cable screws in. I just broke the damn thing right off. So, of course, you know, I'm all irritated with that because I actually used it. You know, I always have, like, the sci-fi channel playing up in the upper right-hand corner of my screen while I'm coding or, you know, cruising around the net or doing, you know, something interesting, which happens not very often. Anyway, so I'm really irritated about that, and I decided, well, you know, I had better get my ass out and go shopping for a new card, a new TV tuner card. And I looked around on the web real quick first because, you know, want to see what ones are compatible. And I keep seeing this WinTV Go, right? Real popular card. A lot of people have it. WinTV Go. I check around.
WinTV
and,
Go nowhere.
Sure enough, you know, like Circuit City has it. And Best Buy. And Circuit City is like, you know, $50. That's pretty cheap. Best Buy, I think, was like 70 or something. So I go to Circuit City. I grab this card. I bring it home, put it in a box. While I'm doing that, I figure, hey, I should really put that other sound card that Dan brought me in, you know, too. I should put that in there because the sound on my regular Linux box is really junky. One of those onboard cards with the, was it SIS or something like that?
anyway, I don't know, really, really bad onboard sound. Sounded like crap. You could not get any, you know, input into it or anything, like, really, really horrible. So I put the new sound card in, which is a Soundblaster 128 PCI. Put that in there, put the TV card in there, plug everything in. Booted up far enough in the BIOS where I could disable the onboard sound, reboot it, pop it back up. Linux pops up, auto-detects the sound card.
Beautiful.
Auto-detects the TV tuner card. Awesome. You know, figures out that it's a Hopodge Type 10 card, which is the, you know, the Win TV Go PCI card. Anyway, the problem with that is this. The BT TV drivers grab that card and run like hell with it, and it works great because I plugged my security camera in this thing. So I fired up XAW TV, fired it up, and pop, up comes my security camera, and it looks wonderful. It's nice and crisp and clear and sharp and the whole bit. The problem is I can't get any TV stations on it, and I find out why, and the reason why is because it didn't load a tuner. So I go back and load the tuner module. Well, the tuner module doesn't auto-detect what kind of tuner it is. You have to, with this particular type of card, from what I gather on the net, you have to explicitly tell you, or you have to explicitly tell the computer what tuner setting to use. Now, the problem with that is this. There are 41 tuner settings that you can choose from. Now, I picked some ones that I thought would be a logical choice, right? I went through and, you know, tried like 4 or 8 of them or something like that. And then I figured, you know, this is getting me nowhere. It's not working. So the only real alternative I have is to try every single tuner setting, which, of course, takes a while, you know, because you have to pull the BTTV drivers off. Out of the modules, and you have to pull the tuner driver out, and you get to load everything back up again and explicitly tell it what tuner setting to use, and yada, yada, yada. And then you got to try the channels to make sure they're right. And it really is a long and drawn-out process, and it tends to frustrate a person really well. And that's precisely what happened to me, because, of course, you can imagine that the tuner setting I really wanted to use was number 39 out of 41. So it took me a great deal of time, and I was really, really irritated by the time I found the settings. And then, of course, when I had my TV tuner working, I had to go in and into my bedroom and tell my wife and my daughter that, you know, that they could actually come back out, and then I was done swearing at the computer. But the reason I told you that and I told you this is because I kept saying that I wanted to do, you know, the mixing work and the stuff and the sound and put on my Macintosh, and I finally just figured out, you know, I'll just give up on that, and I'll do some other stuff on that, and since I put the new sound card in my main Linux workstation, I will use that instead, which I still plan to do. However, I still have not plugged my mixer and associated equipment into the input of that sound card, but I will.
You do it.
I will.
Okay.
It's definitely on my list of things to. I'm absolutely sure it'll work too, because the input already has the input from the TV tuner card. You don't have the little
right cord
that comes out, and you have to put it on your line in kind of thing, and that works just fine. And I haven't tried recording it. I should do that just to make sure. But I'm sure it works. This one works fine because it's a real sound card. First time I've had one in a computer since my P2-300. With a Soundblaster 16 years and years ago. But so I'm kind of excited to play with it. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to do that because right in the middle of all that, I had people at work that I was covering for their vacation, so I was really busy with that. And now I'm really busy trying to learn some PHP and MySQL as well. But I will indeed get along to all that stuff and... I'm done talking now. I'm pretty much exhausted, and, you know.
I like, regardless of what a lot of people say, I like PHP.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
It looks like an interesting thing to play with. I haven't had a lot of problem or a lot of time to do anything with it yet, though. So
why not?
I just decided that I wanted to start pissing with this stuff, you know, the beginning or the end of last week, and I've looked at some docs and things like that, but I've done a lot more database work,
right,
than I have worked with PHP, so yeah, it's a little bit easier for me to slide into SQL, and then I have this program that I'm working on. It's some kind of time clock program I'm building under MySQL and using a bash to get the input and output through there. It looks really cool. I'll have to put the results up somewhere where people can take a peek at it after I'm done with it, and it works really well. But I figured if I wasn't going to use Bash, I was going to have to do a web app and use PHP and SQL, and that's just like too many things for me to have to research while I'm doing it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I stuck with something that I know how to do, which is Bash scripting, and something that I need to learn how to do, which is the SQL programming. And then, I'll just, perhaps later on, once I have the SQL then down, then I can go back and redo it under PHP and make a web app out of it and, you know, learn the PHP part of it.
There you go. Or Perl.
But I also looked under
Perl.
Yeah, Perl. I also looked under on the web today. I was looking around at some PHP stuff, and they said that, you know, you can use PHP as a console-based scripting language too. You don't have to use it as a web-enabled thing. If you just, you know, do the shebang PHP kind of, I forget, you know, it's a little bit different than that, but you can actually use it as like a shell and do scripting, which I thought was really cool.
Right.
And so I will definitely have to, you know, do some checking out of that kind of stuff and see what the deal is with that. And I also found some really cool stuff in SQL. Like SQL, you can have SQL return information to you and, you know, in XML natively and in HTML formatted natively and stuff like that. That's just really cool, if you ask me. None of the, you know, I don't know. I wonder if Microsoft's SQL does that kind of neat stuff.
I couldn't tell you because I've never used it.
Probably not.
It does it all,
I try and stay away from it. But, yeah, anyway, you know, that's the kind of stuff I've been doing, investigating here and there. And it's been actually an eventful couple of weeks for me as far as doing different stuff with doing different stuff with Linux installs and,
right,
you know, learning some new Linux goodies and brushing up on my Bash a little bit and learning SQL, which is pretty neat. I mean, I really advocate doing that, a whole keep it simple, you know, stupid thing.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of times where people develop these gigantic database utilities and applications when they really could use a simple flat text file to store their data and get through it just as fast, you know, with cut and stuff like that and the regular Unix utilities. However, there's some, you know, and that's part of the reason it took me so long to get into MySQL, because I really couldn't find a good application that I absolutely had to use a database for until I hit this time clock thing. And the only reason that I really had to do it then is because SQL locks the database so that, you know, two people can't write to the same record at the same time kind of thing.
Right.
And in order to do a time clock when people are registering their ins and outs and stuff, you don't want them like writing both writing to this thing at the same time. It's got to be locked. So I had to look at that, and then that led itself to some other data that I could incorporate in there too, just to make things look pretty. But and learn it. But any, you know, I really got to stop talking, man.
Why is that?
Dan has done nothing but sit over here and look at me and stare me in the face and go, "Yep." Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You do it.
Mm-hmm. It's all you, Dan. Go for it.
Huh? Oh, you talking about RSS aggregators for a second, going back to that topic.
Yes.
Let me talk into the microphone.
2 weeks ago.
You had said about me getting something set up on the server. One of the problems I have at work, I would love to have all my RSS, my feeds in one location. But right. And somebody suggested blog lines. Unfortunately, the filtering software at work blocks out blog lines. You had said something about setting up on a server here some kind of utility. What was that? Was that Magpie?
No.
Because I was just starting to play around with Magpie right now.
I'll have to dig through my email. Unless somebody has that sticking in their head that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's a PHP, it might be PHP and SQL utility, a program that you can run on your server that's just like I use blog lines. It's just like that, only you run your own blog line server kind of thing. And I cannot remember the name of it.
It wasn't Feed on Feeds, was it?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Feed on Feeds?
Feed on Feed. And that's, you run it right on your own server, uses PHP and maybe SQL, I forget, offhand. And, you know, you set it up and do your whole doohickey all on your own server.
There we go, huh?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
That's what it was.
Thinking about setting that up because, like, I have all of Ricardo. Remember that list that Ricardo put on?
Yes.
And he had a bunch of different. I put a bunch of mine on my aggregator that I use on OS 10 at work.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like, well, I don't have them on my box at home. What the aggregator I use there? So it'd be nice to have it all in one location.
Yeah, see everything central. That was my initial problem to the whole RSS news aggregator thing to begin with, is that, you know, everybody has these great looking news aggregators, but they're really only practical if you use one computer or you use a non-graphical aggregator like Snow News or something you can SSH into, and that's great too, unless they have graphics that you want to look at or you want to click on it and have it open a web page and something other than links or something like that, then you really need to have something graphical to get the whole thing, you know, the little pictures and stuff like that. And the only good way to do that is to use an external service somehow, somewhere, you know. I'm rambling again. Blah, blah,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Blah,
right.
Blah, mommy. Blah.
what?
Something, a little something I did today, because I took a sick day. I was dead to the world this morning. A post had come into the Linux, the Lug mailing list. Faber was asking how he produced a scenario where he was doing work for a client, and a client had given him a rewritable CD with some forms on it.
Yep.
And then later on wanted to add another form and pop the CD in his machine and just dropped that form right on there and gave it back to him as if he was copying it to a floppy disk. And he had asked, you know, can that be done in Linux? And right off the bat, I'm thinking of packet writing, because my old man keeps hounding me about that, the packet writing with direct CD
right
on the Windows side, because he wants to be able to use CDR rewritables like a floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an abomination, but anyhow.
Yep.
So there's that, and there's multi-session disks, multi-session tracks, whereas you don't close the disk when you're finished writing to it.
Right.
You can add more sessions onto it. So I didn't explore the multi-session track thing that much yet. I'm going to look into it, but I did explore the packet writing through Linux. Now, packet writing is included to some extent on the 2.6 kernels. There's you need to have two things compiled into your kernel. That's UDF support,
mm-hmm.
Universal. What is that? Universal Disk File System or something
like
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to have UDF support, and also under your block devices, you need to enable packet writing capabilities on a block device.
Mm-hmm.
When I first, and then there's the UDF or packet writing. What is it? I posted it on a log list, but there's a UDF or tools that's available on SourceForge. I got the 2.6.8 and 2.6.8.1 patch last night, patched my sources, so I had not rebooted at the time, and I was stuck between,
He's scraping my glasses on the microphone.
Yeah, stuck between having 2.6.7 kernel, but the 2.6.8.1 sources, so I didn't explore too much of the packet writing in the 2.6.7, because first off, I kept on having problems with the utilities. And what my first problem was, by default, the kernels do not enable packet writing on the block device. So I didn't have packet writing enabled in my current kernel. And I did have UDF support. So what I had to do was I rebooted. And I actually went back into the 2.6.8.1 kernel and enabled packet writing. But also...
Say it isn't so damn.
Yeah. But then there's the packet writing, the UDF... site, they, the software, there's some patches that you need to apply to the 2.6.8 kernel to enable actual packet writing capability. Because you can just mount it as UDF. It's a big pain in the butt to try and get the packet writing without these patches. So I had to patch the kernel and then the UDF utilities because they just came out with these patches. Anyway, once I enabled all that, it was one of those things where you're reading the documentation and you're trying to get the command to work and it ain't working the way it's supposed to, and you're sitting there scratching your head because you're like, well, the man file says this, but this keeps giving me this funky error about the device not existing. But lo and behold, the patch changes the way the command works. That you actually run the command. If you run the command without any parameters, it tells you the exact syntax that you're supposed to use. When before you needed to make a device PKTCDVD or whatever it is, zero, using MakeNod as a block device, but now you don't need to make that device. The new patches and the new drivers basically make that device on the fly.
Ooh.
So, I mean, first thing you need to do is you need to format the disk for packet writing capability, for UDF packet writing capability. And man, oh man, that thing took like an hour to format.
Really?
It's insane. And
oh, that sucks.
You know, I don't know if it works any faster on other people's machines, but when I did it on my dad's, and he has a 800 megahertz processor with the direct CD, it was the same thing. It takes an incredible long time to format a disk for packet writing like that.
Really? That's...
Once I did that,
formatting it for another file system, though, right? So,
well, yeah, you got to format. Once I did that, I popped it in, ran the thing, it created the link between a packet device and the actual CD burner.
Right.
And I'm using an ATAPI-based CD burner. I'm not using IDE SCSI. I'm using direct ATAPI because you can do that now.
Right.
And it works. I have never had a problem with it. I've burned tons of disks so far on my machine here and my machine at work using the ATAPI driver. Anyway, first thing I noticed when I mounted it, of course, I started off doing this all as root. It takes a lot longer to mount a device for packet writing than it does just a regular, you know, CD-ROM, ISO 9660, or any other device that you can mount, removable storage device. Okay. But once it's in there, had no problems copying files to it, creating directories on it. It does that thing just like with a floppy, that you copy a file, you move a file, you create something. It appears in the file system, but then a couple seconds later, you actually see it writing to it.
Uh-huh, right.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that's good that it doesn't allow you to eject the CD without dismounting it. So you got to wait until, or you can try and unmount it, but you wait until it's all written to before it'll unmount the device, and then it'll unmount it. And then you can pop it out, and there you go. You're good to go. Now, I was able to mount the device on the regular CD. I have a DVD drive in there, and I was able to mount that as a regular user, but I had to specify, I had to add in my etcfs tab, I had to add that I can mount it. I used to just be ISO 9660,
right.
Yeah, but I said auto right on there, so it auto-detected, but I either have to do that or do that comma UDF, so either both file systems, and it read it without a problem. And I popped it in my OS 10 laptop here, and it read it without a problem, too. I couldn't write to it, though, in OS 10.
But you could read it.
I could read it. And then I popped it back in to the burner, and I set it up so that I could write to it as a user. And that was a little complicated at first because I had to you have to get, you know, rights to the device,
right,
to the user, then you, or the group that the user's part of. Then you need to get rights to the packet driver or the packet device, and then you make sure you have rights to the mount point, too. So you have to have all three of those. And then you can mount it as a user, and it's no problem. I haven't figured out whether I can actually get, when you first set this up, the packet setup device, whether you can you can't run that as a regular user, and that creates the link between your burner,
right,
and your rewritable or your DVD burner, and your the packet driver. So I'm wondering what happens if I reboot the machine, whether that device will still exist, and then I can just mount it again as usual user, or do I have to recreate that device each time? I don't know. Makes me wonder. But
indeed,
I could do that. That works fine. And what Faber had said was that this guy just popped a disk in. It was just like copying a file to a floppy disk in Windows XP, I think the guy was using. So, I, you know, without being there to actually see, and I've never tried that on Windows XP, oh, itchy ear. I mean, the packet writing works like that in Linux. I mean, it takes a couple seconds, just like writing to a floppy, and you pop it out.
I can't imagine it working any faster under XP because, you know, XP, everything is just god-awful when you do anything, you know?
Right. So that's what I did this afternoon, aside from cleaning my room.
Cool.
Oh, you know what else I checked out? A new release of Blender recently. 2.3.4, I think it is. Blender3D.org.
And that's under the new open source,
Yeah,
Blender.
Well, it's been open source for a while. What's nice about it is, as I was there, I noticed they had an OS 10 version. So I grabbed the OS 10 version also, and it works just like it does under Linux on the OS 10. The bugger thing about it on OS 10 and any Mac is, by default, Mac comes with one mouse.
Uh-huh.
So I have, of course, my two-button mouse here with the scroll wheel. There's a third button. I can't live without a three-button mouse. It's just not right. And you need a three-button mouse.
I have a hard time on my laptop. Yeah. I got a Dell laptop. And, you know, I'm always using that third button. So I'm Dell laptop with the little, the hell are those? The touch pads. I can't stand touch pads, man.
Yeah, you need a third
I really
button.
Would like to use a mouse like that. But that's like another thing that I have to carry around with me and plug in and all that other crap. So I didn't mess around with it until I
was out at another building at work. We were doing some testing of the fiber between the buildings because we're having a problem. It's an odd thing. Two schools, they're connected by fiber. It's approximately 7-mile run. And transferring files from the main building to the remote building is fine. But transferring files from the remote building to the main building dog slow, and we can't figure out why. It's really odd. We've gone through, we've tested the fiber tests fine. We've this past week we swapped out the gigabit cards on both ends. They've been swapped out. That
right.
Didn't make a difference. We've had Cisco look at our configurations. We had people from the IU look at our configurations. I've looked at the configuration. We can't find anything wrong with the configuration. So what I'm thinking is that there is probably a hardware issue on the back plane again, because for some reason these Cisco switches we have just drop like flies. When we have a power outage and it exhausts our UPS,
right,
or something like that happens, we cross our fingers and hope that these things come back. Because if you leave them running, they seem to be running. They run fine. But the moment that the power goes out, you reboot these things, all of a sudden the hardware is failing right and left.
I have had some experience there, too. A couple of... And, you know, generally speaking, I really like Cisco stuff. But I'll tell you what. I have had 3 or 4 Cisco routers at work that have completely knackered themselves on a power down. From a brownout, from power outages and stuff like that. And, I mean, these were even on UPS's land. Just like Dan said, once the UPS went down and exhausted its power, wham, they were done. Fried all the, you know, these particular routers that I had were, they had the smart card configuration cards.
Right.
Just whacked them. Fried the smart cards up, fried everything. Nothing would work. They wouldn't come up afterwards. Three or four of those did that in a couple of different facilities. Different models, too. It wasn't the same model, so. Must be something real funny about that kind of. But anyway, I digress. It is 10 after.
Already?
Yes, it is. 11 after, in fact. Almost 12 after. And we need to end our joy for the night.
All right. That's sad. We have to go.
It is. And Alan wasn't even here tonight. In spirit.
Anything else for the good of the cause?
I talked all night long, so unless you have something, we can cut it out. Yes, no, maybe. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you very much.
It's been 40, this is our 46th episode. That's a lot. For those of you who are listening to us who actually do these shows, like you guys over in the UK, and you guys who run Slug Radio, you actually do know how hard it is to do that many, you know, how hard it is to do that many shows. 46. 47 will be next week. Make sure you keep listening. Please send us your ideas, comments, suggestions, and any of those little promos and commercials and stuff. You want to do one of those? You know, have some fun. Do one of them. Send it right off to us. Let us know at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. We will be ecstatic to put your stuff on the air if it's at all possible. Other than that, thanks for listening. Catch us next week. I'm Link.
I'm Dan.
Good night. We find the right. Oh, I gotta find the right music. Been so long, 2 weeks, I can't even find my music anymore. I gotta find the ruined one. See, I found the regular one. I need to find a ruined one. Ruined! Ah, here we go. Good night.
Pulling the flink back show. Pulling the flink back show.